ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
So, Norman, I kind of want to go back to our roots today, because the questions that we've gotten are in a very similar vein to a question that we got a lot when we were doing CoronaCast, which is, if you've been listening to this feed for a long time, you know that's what this show used to be. And it's variations on the theme of what can you do to boost your immune system?
Very popular indeed. Are there such things as immune boosters? And I used to think that was bullshit.
Oh.
But on today's Watch That Rash, you'll find out it's not completely.
I love it when Dr. Norman Swan has a change of heart. I am health reporter Tegan Taylor, and I am on Jagera and Turrbal land.
And I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan on Singaporean land.
As we said, Norman, today we are talking about whether or not it's possible to boost your immunity. We've had a question from Lindy, who says she's getting sick more frequently than most of her friends and family. Christina's asking whether she can do anything to boost her children's immune systems. And I feel like I get this question all the time from my friends, especially the ones who are parents of young kids, because it's just like a barrage of infections when you've got a kid in daycare. So give us the lowdown, please.
Okay. So maybe we just should give you a little bit of a tour around the immune system, just to give you a sense of what the immune system does. And I like to think of the immune system a bit like Hollywood movies.
Okay.
And the three movies that I like to choose are, well, one's a series, The Sopranos, Pulp Fiction, and The Godfather.
What is it with men and The Godfather? I love it.
And they're associated consigliere, because in one way or the other, they're mafia movies.
All right, I'm here for this.
You know, let's just think of an invader coming in. So an invader coming in, there are snitch cells. They tell tales. They recognize invaders and they dob them in.
The dobbers, I love it.
They're the dobbers. They go back and they then communicate that to the rest of the system.
So what are the dobbers? What kind of cells are they?
They're dendritic cells, are the ones that receive the messages. Let's say there's a virus going through the body or something foreign that they're not used to. These dendritic cells catch them and then they analyze them and send information to the rest of the system. So these, you know, they're not necessarily always circulating. They might be in lymph nodes or elsewhere, but these are the dendritic cells. Then they send these messages back to the command center. Now, if the command center doesn't know, essentially the Godfather doesn't know what this is yet. And he might send out the lads, you know, with the machine guns and to just...
The enforcers.
Yeah, that's right, to set up a barrage, almost like the 1920s and 30s. And that's called the innate immune system, where it's essentially just a non-specific barrage to kill anything in their path or try to kill it. But then they start to recognize who's coming in and they send specific cells and antibodies to attack them. And these, if you like, are the conciliary. These are the people who take messages back and then go out and do the bidding of their bosses and so on. But back at command, there are people with long memories, the Tony Sopranos, the Godfathers, who have memories and they will never forget when you've done something bad to me. And when you come back in, they will do something bad to you. And then when the attack has happened, then you've got what I called Harvey Keitel cells. This is where Pulp Fiction comes in, because I don't know how many people watched Pulp Fiction, but you're going to have to watch it now. So Pulp Fiction, you know, there's a disaster in a car where essentially there's blood all over the car. Somebody's killed by accident. And Harvey Keitel is basically a cleaner who comes in to mop up disasters. And so Harvey Keitel comes in to mop up this disaster. So there are white blood cells that come in to mop it up. These are the phagocytes. These are white blood cells. And so you've got antibodies, you've got white blood cells, you've got Godfathers who remember everything, and you've got the Harvey Keitels who go and just mop up afterwards. So that's the sort of Hollywood tour through the immune system.
I wish you'd been my biology teacher. I wouldn't have appreciated it at the time.
I'm nervous about any immunologist who's actually listened to what I've just said. But anyway.
They are loving. They're applauding. I can feel them applauding right now. So we've all got these Godfathers and Harvey Keitels and whatnot all swimming around in our bodies in different ways. So why do some people seem to get more sick than others?
Well, this is what parents talk about a lot. Why does my child get infections and the others don't? A couple of things to be said about that. One is acquiring these infections is just part of growing up. It's the training of your immune system. It does not mean that you're immune deficient. It might mean that you're, as a child, bit more susceptible than other kids. But what you don't know as a parent, there's always some parent boasting about how their child is sleeping through, they're the perfect eater, et cetera, et cetera. And they never get any infections. And your child doesn't sleep at night, is fussy eater, and is getting every infection going. And you think, bloody hell, those other parents, you know, you're really angry at them or jealous or whatever. The reality is, first of all, some of these parents are bullshitting you. The child is not that perfect. But secondly, they might be getting the infection and not showing the symptoms. And that's a common situation where they get a bit of a sniffle. They've actually got the same infection as your child. And it's probably genes that are dictating whether or not your child comes out in these symptoms or not. The good news is that your child's acquiring immunity and will have a robust immune-boosted system because they've had that infection. Immunization is an immune booster. So immunization boosts your immunity to a whole series, whatever disease you are immunized against. There is one particular immunization, the TB immunization, the BCG, which seems to have a generally enhancing effect on how the immune system works, which is, you probably remember, Tegan, was tried against COVID-19 in the early days.
So building up immunity through vaccination is obviously one. And then, like you say, previous exposure. I am curious to know a bit more about the genetic side of things, though, because that, I think, is the nut of it for some people, is some people seem to get really sick and some people seem to breeze through, and that doesn't feel fair.
It may not be fair, but that's the way it is. And it doesn't necessarily predict anything very much about that child's future, apart from the fact that they've been infected and they're going to be immune. There is a genetic background to almost everything that we do. The analogy I often use here is with lung cancer. A very significant percentage of us are born with the genes for lung cancer. Now, I don't say that to scare you. It's that if you don't smoke, you'll never know you had these genes for lung cancer. It's just that they're only activated when you smoke or maybe when you're exposed to fine particulate air pollution. But the reality is we've got lots of genes which tend to decide how we react to various things in the environment. And we really should not get overly concerned about genes. What's much more important here are the environmental things that can make a difference to how your immune system works. So nutrition profoundly affects the way the immune system works. So if you've got a poor diet that's low in protein, low in micronutrients, particularly as you age, the effectiveness of your immune system, you know, actually deteriorates. So a diverse diet, rich in micronutrients, is really important.
So we're really getting into immune-boosting territory here, which is the question. So good diet is sort of our number one immune boosting tip?
Yes. And there's no evidence that taking it out of a bottle in terms of multivitamins or antioxidants actually does boost your immune system. When they put that stuff on the back of the label, they're really talking about taking these micronutrients in your diet where there's a vastly increased number of these micronutrients than anything you buy over the counter, and they interact with each other in your food to allow them to be absorbed and utilized better. Now, the other thing that goes along with nutrition is the effects on the microbiome. So there are bugs in your bowel which actually affect your immune system. So the surfaces of our body are the first line of defense in your immune system.
So your skin, your respiratory tract, because that's where you're interacting with the air, and then your gastrointestinal tract, because that's where you're interacting with the things you eat.
Yeah, it does your head in, but your gastrointestinal tract, even though it feels as though it's inside your body, is actually outside your body because it's only inside your body when it goes through the wall of the gut. But the inside of your gut, or what looks like the inside of that tube, is actually outside your body. So now that I've really confused you and done your head in, we'll move on. But the point here is that these external surfaces are the training wheels of the immune system in childhood. And the richer the diet, the more diverse the diet, the more diverse the microbiome, and the more your child's immune system is being trained. And the bugs in the bowel that develop actually help to train the immune system. And they also have a volume switch of turning it up and turning it down, because you've got to be careful what you wish for with a boosted immune system. Remember I talked about the Godfather sending out the lads with the machine guns in that first episode of Attack from the Outside? That's the innate immune system. And that's just supposed to be a barrage that doesn't last for very long before the immune system gets its act together to work out who's actually attacking and you can be much more targeted. But that can be turned on chronically, which creates inflammation from the inside out.
So, yeah, we're boosting our immune system, not too much. That's the nutrition side of things. Another question that we get a lot about in this space is vitamin D?
Yeah, vitamin D is a hormone really in the body rather than a vitamin and has lots of effects, including some on the immune system. And you want to have adequate vitamin D on board, and that you can get from sunlight, and in some instances you can get it from vitamin D supplements, although there's debate about how beneficial they are.
What about getting out and getting active?
Exercise has been a really controversial area in terms of immune boosting or effects on the immune system. So there's been a story around for many years that extreme exercise is bad for your immune system and causes immune suppression. And this comes from data which has described increased numbers of viral infections in athletes after their events. And also when they measure their immune cells, they seem to be depleted. It's now considered to be a bit of a myth that the effect on viral infections is almost certainly you're mixing with a lot of other people and you're more likely to catch a virus. So it's as crude and as simple as that.
Is there not also maybe like a stress component to it though? Because you're going out, you've maybe been training a lot. This is sort of the pinnacle of whatever you're training for. And then I know from myself, after like exam block and stuff at uni, I'd often get sick right at the end of something big that I've been studying for. Like that's not physical, but it's a similar kind of setting.
There is a brain immune system connection, and the brain does have an influence on the immune system. And that may be what's going on there. What's going on with extreme exercise, when you're talking about elite exercise, it looks as though what happens when you have this burst of energy at the beginning of the event, your immune system flushes out, particularly T cells, these cells which attack foreign invaders. So it's almost, a physical stress reaction where these T cells go out into the immune system. So if you actually measure their immune systems soon after the extreme exercise, they actually have more of these cells in their body than they did before because they come out of storage in a sense. But then after the exercise, they seem to drop. But it looks as though that drop in these T cells is because they've actually reassorted themselves to the surfaces to protect the body. So they've actually gone into the respiratory tract, they've gone into the gut and so on. So it's kind of an artificial reduction. They're still around, but they're not in circulation in their blood. Some people call this exercise immunotherapy. What's true as you get older is that the more you exercise, particularly in structured exercise programs, the more competent your immune system is. And regular exercise reduces this chronic inflammation, this triggering of this first line of defense. Short-lived episodes of stress, coming to your point, do seem to tune up your immune system, but chronic stress over a period of time seems to actually deplete your immune system. So it may well be that when you've had stress over exams over an extended period of time, then you may well be a bit immune depleted after that, but it does come back.
So then the other one I wanted to come to is sleep, because I think especially if you're a parent of a young child who isn't sleeping, they're not only just bringing home all their bugs from daycare, but if sleep's an important factor in your immune system, you're also kind of weak in that realm as well.
There almost certainly is an effect of sleep on the immune system. There is some evidence that short duration sleep and very long duration sleep are associated with excess numbers of infections, but it may well be more due to sleep quality than sleep duration. And so I think that we don't fully understand it, but there is a relationship there.
One more immune boosting, I want to call it a supplement, intervention that used to be very popular and I want to bring it back is trips to the seaside. You know, in like very 19th century or maybe even earlier sort of Jane Austen-ish idea that you'd go to the seaside if you were poorly and recuperate there. And I think that I'm overdue for one of these trips myself.
Well, it's not just the seaside. In Europe, and if you had money in Britain, you went to Switzerland to a mountain resort.
I'll take that as well, thanks.
Sanitarium. So this was often done for tuberculosis. And in the old-fashioned hospitals, when I was training...
Back in the 19th century, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The infectious disease wards had big verandas. Why did they have verandas? Because people with tuberculosis... And this was Aberdeen, the northeast of Scotland. Why did they have big verandas? Because people with TB, their beds were wheeled outside because of this idea that fresh air was going to be good for them.
Was it? Like, is there anything to it?
Well... Anecdotally, people believed it. There was all sorts of things they did with TB, like they collapsed your lung to give them a rest and so on. But what's clear is that fine particulate air pollution is not good for your immune system. It tends to stimulate this chronic inflammation and boost your system in ways that are almost like a distraction from the real event. So it could be that going and taking the air, as they said, might actually be good for your immune system.
So we should all be taking trips to Switzerland.
Trips to Switzerland or climbing a mountain.
So I'm personally a fan of the fresh mountain and seaside air, but there's a lot of other things that claim to be immune boosting in modern times, supplements and wellness shots and that sort of thing. There's even certain foods that people laud, like ginger. Is there anything in this?
Well, a lot's mixed up in that. There's no evidence for immune boosting in terms of what you might buy in the bottle, in terms of antioxidants or particular vitamins or others. It would be great if there was, but sadly, there's not. Unless you are seriously nutritionally deficient, you've been in a famine. But for most of us, there's no benefit whatsoever from anything that you might get in a bottle.
There's pills and stuff, but there's also those like wellness shots that are like a little tiny juice that you get, and they're full of turmeric and ginger and all that sort of thing. Like, they're natural. Is that not worth it?
Look, it might be. The problem is buying it, and you're not really sure what else they've added to it. And if you look at the ingredients, turmeric's only just part of it. So by all means, if you buy fresh turmeric, buy fresh garlic, mix it in with a carrot and have it as a juice, it's not going to hurt you.
It actually sounds delicious.
Yeah, I don't like the taste of turmeric, but it's good stuff.
So to answer questions from our good friends Lindy and Christina, no quick, easy answers here, but in terms of an immune-boosting shot, you can get that in the form of vaccinations. And other than that, it's just good old healthy lifestyle things again.
Yeah, although I would argue with there's no quick shot. If you change the nutrition of your child from an ultra-processed diet to one that's mixed, their microbiome will change within days. So that's a pretty quick fix.
All right. So fruit and veggies, exercise, sleep, moderate amounts of sunlight. It feels like that's the answer to every question I ask you, give or take.
We'll find some which vary, but, you know, healthy brain, healthy immune system, healthy heart. Mm. Just do the basics.
And a trip to a mountain. Well, if you want to be like Lindy and Christina and have your question answered, you can send us an email. We are thatrash@abc.net.au. And we love getting your voice questions if you want to use voice memos to record your question. Or you can send us some feedback like Andrew did. And I think Andrew's responding to our episode, Norman, that we did on pre-workout, because his young male teens that live in his house are convinced that they need to consume these fluoro-coloured expensive supplements to be buff and fit.
Yeah, well, it's really not going to help them because they're ultra-processed foods and they're probably associated with some harm. They're much better taking a healthy diet. Do what the elite athletes do. Not very many of them are swallowing pills. They're actually taking a healthy diet.
Well, I did try a pre-workout for research and also for the ABC Health Instagram account. It tasted like lollies. But then I had this weird aftertaste in my mouth for like the whole rest of the day. Oh. Keep your questions and feedback and any other comments you want to make coming. We're ABC Health on Instagram, or thatrash@abc.net.au is our email.
And we'll see you next time.
See you then.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listener.